What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Talking about a pretty exciting group of quarterbacks, the year two quarterbacks. Who's ranked the highest? Is it Jalen Hurts, who is, you know, probably the worst passer of the big four that we're going to talk about? Is it Justin Herbert, who set just about every rookie passing record? Joe Burrow, who was the number one pick in the draft last year? Or Tua No, it's not Tua Tagovailoa. But we welcome you to the show on this Wednesday afternoon. Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Heath Cummings. If you listen to Fantasy Football Today in 5, you heard Jamie's take on these sophomore quarterbacks in 5 minutes. But now we get to spend more time on it. Heath, pretty exciting.
Why are you crapping on Tua already?
No, I'm just saying he's not going to be number one in the rankings.
Why are you crapping on Tua?
I like Tua. I like him. Leave Tua alone.
You said Tua would be the best quarterback of this class.
You did.
I said it's
Before the draft. Uh-huh. You said Tua would be the best.
I don't think I said that. It quite like
you
that.
You said better than Burrow. You said it, be the best.
I said it wouldn't be a surprise. What my case was that he was a better prospect.
Is this more of a moonwalk or is this the Homer retreating into the bushes? Which one is he doing right now?
I have not yet heard whether he may still believe this. You wouldn't change your mind based on half a season worth of games.
Oh, I would. I think you have to go with Herbert at this point.
Oh, so but Tua could still be better than Burrow.
He could be better than Burrow.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The reason I said that about Tua was up until Burrow's senior year, Tua was a much bigger prospect, the assumed number one pick, and he was having a tremendous junior season at Alabama before the injury. So there was no reason why he couldn't be a great quarterback, and he went fifth overall. Burrow was kind of a non-prospect, really, until he got on the radar
a non-prospect.
Before his transfer to LSU, I think he was basically a non-prospect. I think so. I don't think
he was drafted. That's a non-prospect.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I think he was a day three pick, maybe undrafted before his first season at LSU, and then he was on the radar, and then he blew up and had the best season ever, basically in college history.
So I'm glad. Like the first thing that we get out of this is that Joe Burrow sucks.
According to you,
me? Come on. That's not fair. That's not what I was saying. I'm just saying
non-prospect.
In terms of pedigree, Tua was way ahead of Burrow until their last year in college. Can't argue with that, right?
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, who's number one going into next year? Going into 2021?
Fantasy-wise?
Yeah.
The guy Tua replaced.
Jalen Hurts?
That's right.
Heath?
Right now, I think it's Herbert. I have questions really about the other three. I wouldn't argue if someone wanted to say that Hurts has the most upside of the four, for this specific year. His rushing potential is obviously amazing, but really, as we generally see with rookie quarterbacks, the other three guys weren't very good as rookies, and Justin Herbert was. And just like 7 yards per pass attempt is a very, very low bar for a regular NFL quarterback. For a rookie quarterback, it doesn't happen very often at all. In fact, I only found 9 quarterbacks who as rookies have thrown 400 passes and averaged 7 yards per pass attempt. Justin Herbert is one of them. Being good as a rookie passer, generally, I mean, those nine were not all, did not all turn out to be great quarterbacks, but Cam Newton, Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Justin Herbert, Jameis Winston, Jim Kelly, Warren Moon, which Warren Moon shouldn't count, Baker Mayfield, Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay. Well, the fact that Mayfield and Bridgewater are on that list, is that?
I mean, I don't think you can say anything really. Mayfield's a weird case. Bridgewater, like, we have no idea what the trajectory of his career looks like without that catastrophic injury. And the fact that he even got back to be an average quarterback last year is a pretty good testament to how talented he is.
Okay. I just want to say something here because I had to make sure I wasn't insane. I just did a little Googling and I'm on theringer.com and they wrote a story in 2019 about Joe Burrow. And it says the LSU quarterback entered this season projected to be a fifth round pick at best. 3 months later, he's being talked about as a top 10 selection. How did he get there? Okay. So I'm not completely crazy. Fifth round pick
is not a non-prospect.
At best, fifth round pick. So I said day three pick. That's kind of a fifth round pick is not really much of a prospect. At best,
what round Tom Brady go?
Yeah. Okay, great. What round did Trevor Siemian go? Same stuff.
What round did Daniel Jones go?
Trevor Siemian went round 7.
Yeah, I know. Not really a prospect.
Still drafted, though. Prospect.
All right, so Heath, Justin Herbert's number one for you?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And who's number two?
What Adam just said was he wasn't listening to a word you said.
I was listening to half of what he said. I heard the Bridgewater part. So rank the top three.
I just want to go back to something I said 10 minutes ago. Sorry, Heath. I wasn't paying attention.
You ever say something and then you're like, God, I hope I'm not completely wrong about this. And I wasn't.
You're completely wrong.
No, absolutely not. Heath, give me your top three.
It's fifth round pick in the NFL draft.
At best, fifth round pick. At best. Heath, give me your top three.
I think Terrell Davis was a sixth round pick, right?
All right. Top three, Heath.
I currently have it as Justin Herbert, then Joe Burrow, then Jalen Hurts. If we get to a point in late April where the Eagles have finally gotten rid of Carson Wentz and not drafted a quarterback, then
that may happen by the time this podcast is over. I'd be careful.
Well, the second part definitely won't happen.
I'll be more confident in
what Hurts' floor is, but he was pretty miserably bad as a passer last year. And so I'm not 100% sold that he's going to be a starter for 16 games next year.
Okay. Jamie, by the way, is really like, he's bringing it today. We're going to have to be on our guard. All right. I'm ready for it. So Heath right now is going Herbert, Burrow, Hurts. Jamie, you're going Hurts one, and then what?
Then Herbert, then Burrow. Right now I have them 9, 10, 12. Hurts, Herbert, Burrow, in that order. Burrow will probably jump to 11 once I feel comfortable that he's 100%. I just think there's a little bit higher ceiling for him. Right now I have Ryan Tannehill at 11. I don't really love that, so Burrow might jump him. But the thing about Hurts that I do love, obviously, is the rushing. And, you know, we saw, if you want to make somewhat of a comparison, I hate to do this, but, you know, Lamar Jackson obviously wasn't a great passer when he took over for Joe Flacco in his rookie season. He was clearly a dominant player in his second season with a full offseason as the starter, full offseason knowing he was the guy. If Jalen Hurts has that type of, I think, progression, he may have that type of upside, not to the same heights of being an NFL MVP and going for, you know, what Lamar Jackson did in his sophomore campaign. But as we talked about on the Monday show that, our Tuesday podcast, about Jalen Hurts when we were having the rankings dispute, if he can be an 800-yard rusher at that position, that is just something that those other guys, I don't care what they do as passers, it's hard to compete with. So, you know, if Jalen Hurts is a 3,000-yard passer and an 800-yard rusher, he's going to be in the conversation to be a potential top five quarterback.
Okay. I just want to tell you the headline of this Ringer story is the modern NFL has never seen a draft prospect rise like Joe Burrow. It begins as recently as this summer. Joe Burrow was an NFL draft afterthought. Okay. Let me give you some QB stats, rookie quarterback stats. Now they're sophomores, but Justin Herbert set rookie records for most passing yards, most passing touchdowns, most completions, games with 300-plus passing yards, games with 3-plus touchdowns, and he tied for the NFL lead in 2020 with 8 completions of 50-plus yards. All right. How about this one? Jalen Hurts averaged 68 rushing yards per game in his 4 starts, or 3.75 starts. Lamar Jackson averaged 67 rushing yards per game this season. So Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson, the same rushing yards per game in their starts. However, Jackson did average more as a rookie, 79 rushing yards per game. This is interesting. This kind of tells you how a quarterback has evolved. I saw Herbert, Burrow, and Tua Tagovailoa. They were all between 64% and like 66.6%, something like that, right around that for Burrow. Completion rate. Pretty good, right? Andrew Luck, he only had one season in his career with a completion rate that high. Peyton Manning didn't get to 64% until his 5th season. But things have really changed recently. Quarterbacks have gotten so much better at completing passes.
Well, the rules have changed.
Yeah, whatever it is. Kyler Murray, for example, 64.4% as a rookie. Baker Mayfield, 63.8%. So the completion rates, for especially for Tua and Burrow, were nothing special.
These guys come into the NFL with what they've done from the time they're kids, with 7-on-7, passing camps, what they do in high school, what they do at the college level. It's just such a different era of quarterbacks that they're more ready to play, and so last year I think was such a big indication of that with the lack of an offseason. And so they clearly were learning on the fly, especially when you talk about Herbert and Hurts, for when they got their opportunity, too, as well, when they got their opportunities. Obviously Joe Burrow was pegged to be the guy right away, but for what those guys were able to accomplish stepping into the starting jobs, clearly Herbert being the best, it's remarkably impressive.
Okay, and then this last one, it's almost like I want to email someone and be like, hey, are you guys sure you have this stat right? Tua Tagovailoa.
That's funny you saying that.
Do I have to keep reading the article to prove myself here? Tua Tagovailoa was 23rd
one article.
in intended air yards per pass attempt. Intended air yards per pass attempt. Tua Tagovailoa was 23rd. Justin Herbert was 24th. They were at 7.5 and 7.4 intended air yards per pass attempt. Tom Brady led the NFL 9.1. So that's how far they were throwing the ball. I mean, to me, Heath, I would have thought Herbert would have been way ahead of Tua Tagovailoa. That's the reputation. Anyway.
Have you met Anthony Lynn?
Yeah, but I just said
Justin Herbert
I'm sorry, he was tied for the NFL lead with 8 completions of 50-plus yards, and then there was that whole narrative of Tua can't throw the ball downfield, so it just surprised me.
Yeah, the offense that Herbert's better at throwing the ball downfield than Tua, but the offense that he was in was the Anthony Lynn offense, where you're going to throw the ball to running backs 30% of the time. There's not a lot of air yards generally on throws to running backs. And then Hunter Henry's your number two target in the offense, generally running 5 to 10 yard routes. And then even their number one is Keenan Allen, a guy that really doesn't go downfield. So you look at the weapons that were around him, the offensive that he was running, there wasn't really an opportunity. When he did throw deep, he was awesome at it.
Okay. Right, good explanation. Let's talk about fantasy baseball. All right. It's time to get ready for drafts. The position previews are out. I've been listening to them. You can also watch the show live 10 p.m. Eastern, Sunday night through Thursday night on youtube.com/fantasybaseballtoday or on our Twitch channel. But fantasy baseball is back. Make sure you're subscribing to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Listen to it every day. It's a great, great listen. Check us out on Facebook. Join our Facebook group. Just search Fantasy Football Today on Facebook. We also have the link in the episode description. Some quarterback trends. Okay, so, I made the whole hubbub about sophomore wide receivers in the last offseason, and really it's just your two players, I think. I mean, running backs, not as much. They really bust out as rookies a lot. But year two is a great year. I mean, guys take huge leaps, and we've seen it now with last year Kyler Murray. The year before that, Lamar Jackson was the number one quarterback. Josh Allen took a big leap. The year before that, Patrick Mahomes was the number one quarterback, and Deshaun Watson was top five. So in the last 5 years, we've had how many top five finishes? Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, Watson, Jackson, and Murray. So that's average of one per year, top six finish. And top 12 finishes, we've had those five quarterbacks plus Jameis Winston, Mariota, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen. All of them finished as top 12 quarterbacks as sophomores. Last year wasn't great, though. Daniel Jones was crap. Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, Gardner Minshew wasn't terrible. 16th per game. Kyler Murray was great, but last year wasn't
really
great.
I really wish we had Schrager today.
Why?
Because he's the only one besides you that could cut the Daniel Jones was crap, and we could just play that every Sunday night when we're recapping the games.
That's if he's still starting.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you some questions here.
How great is it going to be when the Giants sign Gardner Minshew to be their backup quarterback?
I would be very thrilled with that, as long as he's the backup. Let me ask you some questions here. Jamie, since you have Jalen Hurts ranked the highest, and Heath already alluded to this, how much do Jalen Hurts' passing numbers concern you? He completed 51.9% of his passes, averaged 6.9 yards per attempt in his four starts.
There's so much that's going to change for him. He's going to have a much better offensive line. I hope he's going to have a much better receiving core. He's got a different play caller, you know. So the thing that I'm counting on is offseason progression. You know, I mean, the fact that he's already being tasked on his own to take receivers with him to throw with is a great sign. I would hope that the trade happens before they get to anything significant. It sounds like it could be imminent. I just was reading a report while you were talking, because I was ignoring you, that the Colts are not budging on their offer, but they're still talking to the Eagles. So it sounds like the Eagles are maybe getting pushed into a corner here, which is no surprise. So, you know, as soon as Jalen Hurts is anointed the starter officially, and you see what the draft brings for him, what free agency brings for him, I think his passing numbers will improve, I don't know, significantly, but enough to where it will offset any concern.
Heath, want to follow up there?
I think I said what I said. I don't generally hold rookie quarterbacks' numbers against them too much, but I do think, like with Lamar Jackson, when he was running all over the place, the Ravens were winning. The Ravens completely changed their offensive philosophy around him, bringing in Greg Roman. And Lamar Jackson was more efficient as a passer than Jalen Hurts was. So, and I expected Lamar Jackson to make improvement. I think Jalen Hurts will make improvement, but Jalen Hurts turned the ball over like 1.5 times per game and went 1-3 and had pretty horrendous passing numbers. So I think his leash is a little bit shorter. Now, again, if the Eagles don't have any real threat as a backup quarterback and Carson Wentz is gone, then I'm not going to be as concerned about that.
If you want to take a closer look at his passing numbers, Jalen Hurts in his four starts, he was horrible against New Orleans and even worse against Washington. And those were the two good to very good defenses that he played. And then against Arizona and Dallas, the completion percentage wasn't good, but he threw for 338 yards and 342 yards. So maybe it's just, you know, four games, two better matchups, he torched them, and two bad matchups, he was awful.
But it was a trash offensive line that he was playing behind. And an incomplete receiving core. I mean, you know, this isn't going to be a great group of receivers unless they sign somebody or draft somebody significant. And you're talking about drafting, you know, Chase or Smith or Waddle in the first round to make that happen. And then, you know, or signing somebody, you know, of the Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, you know, those type of guys, because Alshon is done. DeSean Jackson is most likely done. And when I mean done, I mean done as elite level players or the players that they once were. The best thing about it is, you know, you hope that Jalen Reagor takes a huge step forward. You hope that Travis Fulgham takes a huge step forward if he's there. And you hope that, you know, the tight end situation is better, even with Zach Ertz gone.
All right, next question. How do you feel about Justin Herbert with a new offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi? Heath?
It's funny. I can remember. It seems like it was a few years ago, but that used to be like a universal thing that, man, you never like it when a young quarterback changes offensive coordinators multiple times early in his career or after his rookie year. And here, as of late, it doesn't seem like it's been as big of a detriment. As far as what Lombardi has done, like, he's a Sean Payton guy. He did lead an offense the full year that he was an offensive coordinator in Detroit that, despite being an 11-5 team, was extremely pass heavy. So I don't think he's going to come in and turn this into a run first team. I don't think it's necessarily, it's not somebody that I would say this is going to be a positive, but when we're going from Anthony Lynn's coaching staff, which was really, and no offense to him, I think he's got some, done some good things, that they were awful last year from a coaching perspective. I don't think it's going to be worse.
Okay. Yeah. So the two quarterbacks last year who got new coordinators were Jones and Haskins, and that did not work out. The year before that,
but they're not as good as Justin Herbert.
No, Mayfield did not get a new, he got a new head coach, but it was his coordinator in Freddie Kitchens, and then things just went down for him. So I don't really know what to make of
that. Lamar Jackson got a new coordinator, right?
Greg Roman
wasn't the coordinator his rookie year, was he?
I think so. I thought so.
I thought he was.
Okay, I thought they brought him in. Maybe they brought him in when they drafted Jackson.
I don't. Maybe I can find it in this Joe Burrow article I've been reading. but yeah, Jamie, do you have
No, Greg Roman came in 2019 for Jackson's second year.
Okay. Oh, well, that certainly worked. Jamie, you have any quick thoughts on Joe Lombardi? Does it matter to you?
I mean, yeah, it obviously matters, you know, but I don't think it's going to be a detriment to him. I think you're looking at, you know, the thing that was great for Herbert, was great for Joe Burrow, is the weapons around them are fantastic, you know? And so for Herbert in particular, you know, the big question mark is, do they find an on par or upgrade to Hunter Henry, you know? And so that's the missing piece. If in fact he leaves, which is probably going to happen, because you have one of the best pass catching running backs in the NFL, in Austin Ekeler, you have one of the best receivers, in terms of getting open and creating plays in Keenan Allen. You have a big target in Mike Williams, you know, and I think we saw when those guys were hurt at the end of the season, some of the young guys stepped up and can be the third, fourth, fifth receivers on this team. So as long as he's protected, I think he's going to be in line for a very solid sophomore campaign. I think he does take a little bit of a step back just because he was so good as a rookie. But, you know, taking a step back is still going to make him a number one fantasy quarterback. He's not going to fall off the cliff.
Okay. And just last thing here, you mentioned the weapons. ESPN did a series yesterday or the other day. One player on each team that needs a change of scenery, and the Chargers, Shelly Smith wrote Mike Williams. His fifth year option was picked up. He's due $15.7 million in 2021. It doesn't say how much they can save if they cut him, but it says that's too much money for a receiver who has never cracked 50 catches. So if Hunter Henry's gone, if Mike Williams is gone.
Well, if they picked up his fifth-year option, I'd be surprised if he's gone.
Okay. All right, then. Well,
and I would say, like, if they made that choice to get rid of Mike Williams, my assumption it would be to spend money on Hunter Henry.
All right, let's go to our next question. What do you make of Joe Burrow's yards per attempt? Not good. He's put up some nice numbers. He was on pace for basically about the same amount of yards as Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert, if you get rid of the Washington game, which he left with an injury, but even if you don't, he's pretty close. Justin Herbert set the rookie record for passing yards. But Joe Burrow threw a ton. He threw 41 times per game. I do not think anyone in the NFL averaged 41 times per game. I think Burrow would have led the NFL in passes if he had kept that up. But 6.7 yards per attempt, that ranked 25th among qualified quarterbacks. Jamie, does that matter to you? The other quarterbacks in that range, Roethlisberger was in that range, but the other guys there were like Dalton, Locke, Tua, Daniel Jones. Bad group to be with, 6.7 yards per attempt.
I think that speaks to the offensive line and just how bad it was. You know, get the ball out of your hands quick. Don't take a pounding. You know, so I'm excited about Joe Burrow. You know, I think what you saw is a guy who can play and can play at a high level. And, you know, is another guy that has a lot of great weapons around him. You know, we'll see what they do to replace AJ Green and for what it's worth, John Ross. But T. Higgins looks legit. Tyler Boyd, we know he could play. Joe Mixon is going to be one of the better backs again. If they can fix that offensive line, I think the sky's the limit for Joe Burrow, as long as he doesn't have any setbacks with the ACL tear. So I don't really, you know, worry about that at all. But I do think, you know, that they should put a lot of stock into their offensive line and make sure he's protected.
What do you make of this, Heath? According to The Ringer, as a physically limited quarterback with average production as a starter, there was little expectation that Burrow would turn into anything more than a late-round project and potential backup.
I think it's important to put the 6.7 yards per attempt in context. Over the last 5 years, there have been 10 rookie quarterbacks that have thrown at least 400 passes. Burrow's 6.7 is very, very mediocre, but pretty close to average. Like, their 6.9 is pretty much the mean, which is where Gardner Minshew and Kyler Murray were as rookie quarterbacks. The only quarterbacks worse than Burrow, Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz, and DeShone Kizer. But what it says to me is that he was not, like, I think the hope was at his age and with what he did in his final year in college, that he was this different type of rookie quarterback that was going to come in right away and be awesome in the NFL. And he wasn't that. Like most rookie quarterbacks, he's going to have to make a leap in his second year to be an actual difference maker in fantasy. I think he probably will.
All right, let me ask you guys a Tua question. How much would Devontae Smith or Ja'Marr Chase change your ranking of Tua Tagovailoa? Jamie?
It won't. I think Tua is a guy that if you take a number one quarterback that you're sold on and you don't have a great last pick that you love, you know, you take a flyer on Tua and hope that he can become something in his second season. He's going to be more of a two quarterback super flex guy than a one quarterback guy, but there's certainly the potential to be better in year two than there is in year one. But they're going to do something at the receiver spot, whether it's make a splash in free agency or use one of their two first round picks. You know, a lot of talk about them trading down because they don't need a quarterback, and a lot of teams do. And so I was listening to a radio show on my way home from the store, getting some groceries. I don't know who was on 560 The Joe, but it was an NFL draft person speaking about that they can probably go down to 8 or 9 and still get Waddle if they don't want to spend the third pick on Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith. So they're gonna take a receiver or add a receiver, and that will clearly help, because I just don't think Devontae Parker is the right receiver for him. Devontae Parker is a guy that you need to have, you know, let him go make plays with a quarterback who's going to allow him to challenge defenders. Tua needs guys that are going to be wide open, and that's just not Devontae Parker's game. He's open, but he's not a guy that, you know, creates a lot of space.
All right. Are there any other sophomore quarterbacks, Heath, that you think have dynasty value that, you know, didn't do much or anything as rookies, but should be at least on our radar, on our rosters?
Not really. Like, I don't have any other rookie quarterbacks ahead of, I shouldn't say Gardner Minshew, because that'll just bring jokes, but I don't have any other rookie quarterbacks ahead of Dwayne Haskins.
Not Jordan Love.
Why not Jacob Eason, though? I mean, just given the circumstances.
I guess my concern is they behaved last year like they thought Chad Kelly was better than Jacob Eason.
Eason, a fourth-round draft pick by the Colts.
Had to do with off-season stuff, not knowing what he's doing.
That could be. I actually still have Jordan Love the highest in terms of dynasty ranking, but I don't have any of them inside my top 30 dynasty quarterbacks.
I mean, because if they make the trade for Wentz, which you can understand why they're going to in terms of the Colts, like, you know, the history of Frank Reich, obviously what he, you know, used to be. But if he's a shell of himself and just can't recover, their number two guy could end up being a starter in the NFL. And that makes them have some fantasy value to whatever leagues you're talking about or whatever degree you're talking about. So, I don't know. To me, Jacob Eason makes some sense if you're looking at just taking a late round flyer and need to start up dynasty league.
What do you think about Jordan Love?
I mean, the hope is that he's, you know, you want to talk about a team not liking him. The Packers spent a first round pick on him and he was third on the depth chart. He's got a long way to go. And, you know, we'll see. Clearly Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. At least it would be a surprise at this point if he's traded. But, you know, what happens after this season if they lose in the NFC Championship game once again, or they don't win a Super Bowl, you know, does he want to go in terms of Rodgers? And do the Packers feel like they're going to make that type of roster changing move? So Jordan Love long term is got to be the fourth guy.
Man, we've had some really good quarterback classes lately. You know, you had Mahomes and Watson in 2018. You have Mayfield, Josh Allen.
Hello.
Yeah. Mayfield, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and maybe there's something left for Sam Darnold in 2019. 2020, really, I think we kind of expected it to not be so great. Kyler Murray, though, fantasy star.
Railroaded Josh Rosen, man.
Yeah, I know. This pass class looks tremendous. I mean, even if it's just those two guys, Herbert and Burrow, who pan out, they both could be so damn good. Forget about the stats. How good did Justin Herbert look this year? Man, some of the plays he made looks like a star. Looks like a superstar. No,
I watch games every Sunday with Pete Prisco Drink, and he's been covering the NFL for 30 plus years. And yeah, he was a young man watching Dan Marino, and so he has probably a little bit better appreciation for Marino than I do. And I grew up as big a Marino fan as you'll find, and. Every week he would make a throw, Herbert make a throw, and he's like, that's Marino. Some of the plays that he made, Mahomes obviously is that type of player as well. But you just watch Justin Herbert, and it's amazing that he didn't look like this at Oregon, because he's a different guy in the NFL. He's just an absolute stud. He was a prospect that people bought into.
Any final thoughts on these guys?
I'm just hopeful for Tua. I'd like to see him play better. I don't know if he's going to ever be a star, but just play better. Cause you don't know how much of it was injury related. You don't know how much of it was not being prepared. You talk about another coordinator change. This is another guy going through a coordinator change as well. Guys that were on the staff last year, but, give him an opportunity. I like to see him get some weapons and see what he can do, because as you said, Adam, I know we're joking, but the expectations for him were so high after what he did at Alabama, and then the hip injury. You just don't know how much that just sapped everything from him. And you hope to see a guy who we've been watching, since his college days at a very high level, that he can get the job done.
I think it's important going into this year to recognize, like, maybe outside of Herbert, what a wide range of possibilities Hurts and Burrow and Tua still have. I wouldn't be that totally surprised if Hurts or Burrow snuck into the top five this year. But like I said, I'm not convinced that Hurts is going to be a starter for 16 games. So like, there's still a lot that we have to learn, especially with Hurts, who played four games. Burrow basically played a half a season. Tua basically played a half a season. We have a lot left to learn. We didn't get quite a full rookie year for most of these guys.
I know Tagovailoa is not going to be the answer here, because he's ranked 20th to 23rd for all three of you guys. I'm not sure if I said that yet, but of the other three, how many of them are you going to rank ahead of the Saints starting quarterback, whomever it might be?
All of them.
Probably not all of them if it's Taysom Hill for me. I may just say one.
Oh, are you including Drew Brees, by the way?
Well, yes, I will take that back. If they get Deshaun Watson will be ahead of all of them.
Yes, correct.
What if it's Drew Brees? Would you go with Drew Brees or a sophomore?
All the sophomores.
I would go with all the sophomores. Yeah, if Wentz is gone and Brees is back, I would go with all the sophomores except for Tua, obviously.
Right. Okay, cool. So we're going to take a break here. We've got actually a lot of news to get to here. Got more Carson Wentz rumors, some Tennessee news. Just a bunch of good. Oh, Chris Carson, we talked about yesterday. Not expected to be re-signed, according to Michael Sean Duggar of The Athletic. So we will talk about all of that when we come back. Plus, we have a disgusting sandwich email once again right after this break on Fantasy Football Today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Our email of the day at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com comes from Austin. No fantasy question, just another gross sandwich for you guys to try or use as punishment. My roommate in college ate peanut butter and cheese sandwiches for the first 20 years of his life, and thinks they're awesome, but I can assure you they're awful. I don't think they sound that bad, peanut butter and cheese.
What kind of cheese?
I think I would say pick your own, choose your own adventure there.
My own adventure would be no on the entire thing.
I would go with I would go with Swiss cheese and peanut butter. I don't think it would be that bad.
Isn't there a Cheez-It, or not Cheez-It, but like a type of little cracker sandwich that the outside crackers are cheese crackers and the filling is peanut butter? Like, isn't that a thing?
Not that I'm aware of. You might be thinking of Handy Snacks with those little red sticks, but I don't think they have peanut butter. And Ritz doesn't have cheese. I don't know. I don't know. I think
here we go. Keebler, cheese and peanut butter crackers. Lance toast, cheese and peanut butter cracker sandwiches. Yeah, lots of places make cheese crackers with peanut butter in the middle.
I was just reading a story in The Ringer about how disgusting that is.
Well, then it must be true. This must is be true. Cheese and peanut
it says,
butter?
It says, at best, can we move on to the next email?
We don't have any other emails.
Keebler
today.
Does it.
Everybody does these. This. Yeah, I don't know. I'm down with a peanut butter and cheese sandwich. Maybe I will.
It's not as disgusting as the other thing that we had.
Yeah, peanut butter and bologna. Yeah, that was gross. Okay, here are your news and notes. Carolina released defensive tackle Kawan Short. He has barely played over the last two seasons. He was, at his peak, a terrific run stuffer. And the Panthers gave up the third most yards per carry to running backs last year, 4.91. Chicago has not had long-term contract talks with Allen Robinson since September, according to NFL Network. Gone. What?
He gone.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can use a franchise tag on. That's the only way he's staying.
Right. Yeah, you could. Well, look, if they trade for Carson Wentz and they are apparently the front runner, then you're going to give up Allen Robinson? That's disappointing.
You guys spent a lot of money on Carson Wentz, depending on what the Colts or what the Eagles are going to eat.
Where would Carson Wentz, where would 2020 Carson Wentz rank on the Allen Robinson list of quarterbacks
best
he's played with?
That's a great question.
He's the best.
I think the worst.
The worst?
The 2020 Carson Wentz?
Have you seen the quarterbacks he's played with?
Did you see Carson Wentz last year? Carson Wentz was the worst quarterback in football.
Was Carson Wentz last year better than Mitchell Trubisky last year?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's better.
Was he better than prime Blake Bortles?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, you're saying, Jamie, you're saying Carson Wentz is better than them. We're saying he wasn't in 2020.
I'm saying that Carson Wentz as a quarterback, not his statistical performance, as what he played quarterback, the position, he was better than anybody that Allen
in 2020?
Played. Yes.
Oh, so disagree. Let me see if The Ringer has something on this. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Tennessee GM John Robinson talked about Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. He said, "We'll see what we can figure out, but at the end of the day, if they choose to capitalize on free agency and the market, I wish them nothing but the best. They've done everything we've asked them to do."
I would like to see Jonnu Smith with the Jets.
Can you please stop putting everyone on the Jets?
I love the Jets. And I would like to see Corey Davis. I saw something about him maybe replacing Allen Robinson as the guy in Chicago, which I think would be terrible because I don't think Corey Davis is the guy. I think Corey Davis is a good number two.
ESPN Cardinals reporter John Weinfuss. And I'll tell you, pronunciation is very important to me when it comes to players. I don't have pronunciation guides for reporters, so I get them wrong a lot. I apologize. But he does not think the Cardinals will re-sign Patrick Peterson, which is great. Move DK Metcalf up around, because in four games against the Cardinals in his career, he has 6 catches, 75 yards, and 1 touchdown on 15 targets in 4 games. And like more than half of that came in one game. What? Yeah.
Friend of the CBS Podcast Network.
That's right. Yes, the All Things Covered podcast with Patrick Peterson.
Brian McFadden's cousin.
Seattle unlikely to re-sign Chris Carson, according to The Athletic. Heath.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice sound effect.
I really worry about any running back besides Aaron Jones that would change teams this offseason. I don't know that there is going to be a starting job for them.
Oh, the Falcons. Are you kidding me?
The Falcons could be a good spot for Chris Carson if they decide to pay a free agent instead of draft one in the third round.
So is that more of a...
I mean, it's really sucks for running backs.
I think this whole setup really sucks for running backs.
I disagree. I think there's going to be great opportunity in Atlanta. I think there's going to be a good opportunity for the Jets. Yep, I think there's going to be a great opportunity in Arizona. I think Pittsburgh's going to have a good opportunity. I think there's some jobs that are going to be available that you could be good. Seattle's going to be a great job opportunity.
J.J. Watt seriously considering signing with Cleveland. Now, here's something that you might want to think about for Joe Burrow. If Cleveland gets J.J. Watt, Baltimore is always good defensively. Pittsburgh's usually good. I mean, I know they're going to lose a lot of players, but they're usually a really good defense. That's six games for him. Five if you don't count week 17.
How good is J.J. Watt now?
I think he's pretty good. Pretty good last year.
He's not NFL player of the year good, but he's still a good complementary piece to a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, line him up across, on the other side with Myles Garrett. That's pretty good. Take it.
See how so much he's like the Corey Davis of defensive linemen now.
I don't know. Jamie, what do you think?
I would say he's better than the Corey Davis of defensive linemen.
All right, let's get to some dynasty questions here. Quarterback questions for dynasty leagues. Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, who's number one?
I've got Dak and Herbert very close, but I've got Dak, then Herbert, then Wilson.
I'd agree with that.
By the way, is it me, or is it hard to find a lot of quarterbacks who are sort of in like the beginning of like 5 years into their career? I feel like we've got a lot of really young quarterbacks who have a lot of years ahead of them, and a lot of, you know, Matt Ryan, Brady, I guess not Breeze anymore. I don't know. Stafford, he's in the back end of his career.
So you're talking about guys that are in their early 30s versus guys that are just starting out.
Yeah, or like 28, 29, something like that. Guys are going into year six, year seven, might be halfway through.
Well, when did you start to put the Mahomes, Watson group into that category?
I don't know. I think they still, based on the way quarterbacks are playing now, I would think they still have 10 years left.
Oh, I don't disagree with that, but I think, you know, I think they're starting to move into the middle portions of their career as opposed to still being stuck in, you know, the early portion.
Okay, so
Adam, to answer your question, yes. I'm just looking right now. I have one quarterback in my top 21 who's between 27 and 29.
Yeah. I guess the question is, at what age do you start going, okay, well, now I'm going to start putting the rookies ahead of them? Because we're not doing that with guys who are like 25 or 26, if the rookies aren't clearly better, you know, I don't think we care at that point, right?
It's the Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford group.
Right.
The early 30s.
Okay. Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence in Dynasty?
You know, I've had this conversation with some NFL people just from an NFL standpoint. Like, who would you rather have right now? Like, if you could start a team right now, if you're Jacksonville, would you take Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence? I think you take Herbert because you know what you're getting. And so I'd do the same for Fantasy, for Dynasty.
Yeah, I would take Herbert for Dynasty, for sure.
Any hope for your three quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins? How much hope?
You left one out.
Minshew?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if we're going to say, is there any hope for Dwayne Haskins, we can ask, is there any hope for Gardner
You're
Minshew?
Right.
The difference is where Haskins was drafted, though. So that's why he's getting a second opportunity. I would not be surprised if Minshew's out of the league next year.
Wow.
Non-prospect, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't have much hope for any of them.
Daniel Jones, I still have hope. Drew Lock, I still have hope. Dwayne Haskins, I don't have hope.
Want to elaborate on Jones and Lock?
Well, I mean, again, I think pedigree will afford them a second chance if they, you know, don't make it with their current team. Certainly for Jones. Maybe not as much for Lock. But this is going to be a big year for Lock. You know, if they don't acquire Deshaun Watson, with Pro Football Talk said they're, you know, I guess very much in the mix if you're the Broncos. There's so much talent around him. You know, so as a fantasy quarterback, he may never be a great NFL quarterback, but as a fantasy quarterback, he may still have a higher ceiling to get to. Obviously, he has to play better, but, you know, when you put anybody on a team that's got Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, that's a great group of guys to throw to. Hopefully, Lock takes advantage of that.
Would you guys like to guess who the top three quarterbacks in 2020 were in sack percentage, which is sacked the most times per dropback.
Daniel Jones.
Number two.
Drew Lock one?
No. Let's see. Lock.
Russell Wilson?
He was sixth. Lock was 29th. He was pretty, did not get sacked much per dropback.
Deshaun Watson?
Fourth. Number one should be, I think, pretty obvious. 10.3% of his dropbacks he got sacked. Holds the ball a while, bad offensive line. Not
Carson
as good.
Wentz.
Yep, not as good as Mitchell Trubisky. Carson Wentz, one. Daniel Jones, two. And Jamie's up-and-comer, Sam Darnold, three. Wentz, Jones, Darnold, Watson, Alex Smith, Russell Wilson. That's your top six in sack percentage, according to Pro Football Reference. Those guys got sacked a lot when they passed, when they dropped back. That's it for this quarterback show. By the way, I did finish my started fantasy points for the quarterback position, and it was probably a big waste of time. We'll talk about that on another episode. And I'm not sure if I'm going to go to the other positions, but there was a couple of interesting takeaways. So we'll talk about that next week. Tomorrow, we'll look at sophomore running backs and who we like and who we are maybe fading in 2021. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.